This is the Valley Outdoors, and we are glad to have you guys with us today. In the house, we've got Donald.
I'm here.
Ava.
Hello.
And me, whoever me is. And we are collectively going to have a fantastic show. Lots of cool topics, and I'm sorry, we have a deer hunting sin that we have to talk about, and you guys are not going to believe this. We want your input. We'll hear about it. Put it up on Facebook, but you got to hear the story. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Guys, I think we're going to have maybe enlightening or lively.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah. So before the break, I alluded to a deer hunting sin, and it has to do with when you get your venison and getting it processed, what do you have processed? Now, we're going to bring that story in after we go for our first break coming up. But I'm telling you guys, you have to hear this. It's unacceptable.
You know, it's a little sad, though, because the guilty or the accused is not here to defend themselves.
Doesn't have to be.
The better half is.
Doesn't have to be.
Well, the better half is the one that's...
Yep.
See, and we'll get there.
We'll get there. We don't need to go there. We will get to that point. However, you are not going to want to miss this. This is... I call it radio gold. This is awesome. So, moving right along, we've teased that enough. When we had a cold snap earlier in northern Minnesota this year, there was somebody that decided that the ice was thick enough going up in northern Minnesota to drive a vehicle on.
This year already?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Now, that falls into the can't fix stupid situation. How about we just be smart for a change, and the fish are going to be there in a week. They're not going anywhere.
Or 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Whatever the case is, when the water is cold enough to freeze to create enough ice, don't drive your vehicle out until it's absolutely safe, because it's just dumb.
It's not worth the risk. So,
no.
You know, that's what's, you know, I'm not a big ice fisherman. So, and that's one of the reasons is I just don't trust the ice. Now, guys that do it a lot, really love it. We're going to probably have some guests on here throughout
next
month or two that are very big into ice fishing, and all the power to them. But
I totally agree. But granted, Don, what you mean is early ice fishing, because late, you know, from let's say January on, almost you're fine to go out anywhere. Pretty much, it's fine. But early season, when people start to push it, no thanks. Use boats. Come on. Use a boat. Use a punk stick, or, you know, your stick, your steel poke.
Shaft.
So you can check your depth. Use this common sense. Use the spikes in your jackets. Use the simple things that you're going to be okay with. If you put a life jacket on, inflatable life jacket, whatever it might be that's going to keep you afloat so you're able to get out of the ice more easily. All the things that you can really follow. So I know it may be premature for some of you folks to think it is, but in no time flat, it's going to be marginal, and I'm thinking in less than a week, there's going to be some...
There'll be stories.
There'll be some solid-looking ice that's out on the northern lakes. I called Chris Granrud. We're going to be talking with him next week up in International Falls about what's going on up there in Lake of the Woods area. We'll have stories. Not the ones we want to hear about, but they'll be there, so... Just don't be a statistic. It really is kind of the thought process.
I mean, so far it's been a pretty mild fall, considering.
It's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, depending on what you think is awesome. I mean, I'm a skier, so they just turned the guns on today and yesterday, full on in most of the areas. But, you know, as far as fishing, people like to ice fish, and cold weather moves deer, and, you know.
So right, right.
All that goes with it. Speaking of deer, Don, I couldn't miss this. This is amazing to me. Hunting season in Michigan, a buck took shelter inside a Michigan church on opening day. Sturgis, Michigan, a 10-point buck sought sanctuary inside a southern Michigan church on opening day of state's firearm deer hunting season. Pastors at Grace Sturgis Church encountered a buck inside the church auditorium on Monday before it leapt through a window and back into the wild. They have a video of it posted on Facebook, so if you want to look it up.
I've seen it.
It shows the buck wandering around the church. Pastor Amanda and Luke Eicher and Justin Wicke erected barricades in a hallway to try and keep the animal from the rest of the church. At one point, it climbed the stairs into the balcony. I was shocked how high it could jump, Amanda said. I was also amazed how big he was. The buck didn't appear to have any gunshot wounds and was bleeding just a bit from what appeared to be cuts from the glass and the window. Besides the broken window, the only other damage was bloodstains on the carpet. We all need reasons to laugh, especially with the hard seasons from the past 2 years. I'm glad we could provide some laughs.
Yeah, it was a nice buck, too.
No question.
They literally had to open up a window. It was the only way he could figure out how to get out of there.
And isn't that crazy?
It went right through the window, no problem.
And to me, when you look at something like that, you think, how in the world did it get in?
Right. Yeah, it's like I just saw they had a video of about a 400-pound black bear that come into a gas station.
Oh, you mean my story that's coming
too.
Up later?
Oh, you got that there, too.
Oh, okay. Good. Great minds, right?
Hey, you know, the bears say, thank heaven for 7-Eleven, too, you know.
Yeah.
Also, we would be remiss. I just happened to pull this up. One of the seasons we have coming up, of course, you can check it out on our the Valley Outdoors page for the seasons, but muzzleloader's coming up the 27th,
yes.
And that goes through the 12th, and of course archery goes through the end of December. Those are still going on. Seasons are still continuing on, and should be good now that the weather's getting a little blustery, and the deer will start to move, saying, hey, we got winter coming, I better start doing some moving and getting on with that side of the fence. So that's going to be good. And Don, you had somebody that recently, we'll carry this story past the break or after the break, but somebody was chasing a buck for a while.
Oh yeah. I had a friend that had some photos here just the other night of one of his workers that her father had been watching this buck now for 4 years. And he had, along with the photos, he finally got the buck. It was like a 16-pointer. And he had the sheds from every year.
Oh, my gosh.
So he spent half the summer
That's cool.
looking for the sheds. So he's got a photo of the big buck with all these sheds.
That's going to be a cool mount, my guess.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And, he's been looking for this big fella for 4 years.
And that's impressive. I haven't heard a story like that where you're able to get all 4 years in that. So, well, hang tight, guys. We're going to be coming back. We're going to talk about the unforgivable deer hunting sin that you are not going to want to miss. Stay tuned. Be right back. Always like to welcome you guys to check us out on The Valley Outdoors, where you can check as we talked about prior to the break, the seasons of any hunting season, fishing season, or anything with any of the DNRs across the United States. And, of course, Facebook. Check us out, please.
That's on our website, www.thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Yep. So we've got that. We've got Facebook. We've got it all. Big or small, we've got
a lot
it
of
all.
Great links on there to people that we enjoy working with, and you can check out all their stuff.
Yeah. We're going to post photos, I think, of our trip pretty quick. We got to share that and get that done.
Yes.
I sent you the goose recipe. I sent you that today as well. So you'll have that.
Okay.
So we'll get that taken care of and get that put up there. Don, we didn't get a chance to finish. We were talking off air. The story has a kind of an amazing detail. Fill us in on that.
Well, you know, this,
with the let me set the table.
Yes.
It was previously we were talking about the sheds. The guy found four different years of
about
sheds.
3 years of sheds. And then he actually got the buck this year, in the last week. You know, we're very fortunate in this area. We have a lot of large bucks that seem to be showing up, at least this year anyway. And part of the story that he had with that is the fact that this last year he had found just one side of the shed, you know, one shed, I don't know, right or left side. And he spent, I could be mistaken, but it seemed to me like 60, 80 hours walking the land where this
100 and some acres?
160 acres looking for the other site. And ended up finding it,
which is
amazing.
It is, because most of the time they're eaten and gone.
Right.
That's
so
crazy.
So he's going to have quite a display when he gets that beauty
we'll
mounted.
Have to get that and get some of the photos and put them up.
Have you ever found a shed?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I have not.
Yeah.
I want to really bad. I bet you Willow would find one.
They're shed hunting dogs, that's what they do.
Yeah, you can train dogs to do
mm-hmm.
that. Yeah.
Which is pretty wild.
That was something they brought up at Dawkins.
Yeah.
They train them to do that. Pretty cool.
Okay, so the moment you've been all waiting for, I've teased it enough, the unforgivable deer hunting sin, and I'm not going to mention any names on this, but if you shoot multiple deer, if you shoot a deer, common, everyone, their practice is, because in summer, you're fishing, what's the best snack to have in the boat, Don?
It's sticks.
Deer sticks. Deer sticks. If you process a deer and you don't get deer sticks, I don't care what flavor. You could have amazing flavors. You could have cheese. You could have jalapeno cheese. You could have regular cheese. You could have
maple.
Swiss cheese. You could have maple. You could have blueberry. You can have anything you can possibly imagine under the sun to meet any and every palate. And what happens when I come in tonight to record the show? Someone mentions that they've just picked up their deer.
Mm-hmm.
Several. How many?
Two.
Two large deer. And from the processor. And I said, what flavor sticks did you get? And guess what the response was? Exactly that. Dead air.
Yep.
There were no sticks. There were no sticks.
Nope.
The stick cupboard is bare.
Jerky's covered.
And
the sticks were missed twice.
Sticks were zeroed. The goose egg.
You could probably go back with some of the ground venison and have some sticks made just to save yourself.
Done. That's it's past tense. It's over.
Yep.
It's over. This year.
I'm sure glad we ordered some sticks.
I'm at the point where you didn't even get any deer. That's how I feel.
Well,
I was fully expecting.
The person is very near and dear to our hearts, and we love him dearly.
I didn't say that. It doesn't change.
He's lucky we love him because
doesn't change.
He missed twice.
That.
He shot
a deer. He got the deer.
No, I mean, he had two
totally
deer.
He totally failed. It's the fail police should have.
He had two opportunities.
He had two opportunities to remember.
I'm sorry. You guys are listening right now. If you get a deer, it is almost a given you get sticks.
Yep.
It's not a question.
You know, there's so many different cuts you can get now, though. It's, you know, you can get brats. You can get like sausage for...
it's all very expensive.
Yes. you get your roast and your ground. And
your
we
sticks.
Actually, we are getting actually a venison breakfast sausage.
And Don,
yes.
You are getting what kind of sticks?
We're getting jalapeno.
See, that would be good.
Here's what I want to do.
Don, do you want to take some jerky?
I am this.
Maybe bring some, huh?
Well, if you bring some, I'll bring you some jerky and we can make a trade.
Oh, no. There's no trades going on.
There's going to be a venison.
The no stick event. So here's no, Don, hold on a second here. I want to have, this is what I want to hear. I'm like a near deer to my heart. If you have a favorite flavor of deer stick, I want you to post it on
Facebook.
Facebook.
Yep.
Go to our The Valley Outdoors Facebook page and post it. I'm going to put that post up there. Give us your best deer stick stories since there was no deer sticks brought in to the show. That's what I'm going to have. And we're going to see exactly what you would have missed in all these people.
Your favorite deer sticks.
Your favorite deer stick flavors. Post it on Facebook. I want to hear it. That's what I want to hear.
All right.
All right. I'm glad I feel better about it. I'm still not going to have any deer sticks. I thought I was going to. I didn't get to go
maybe
deer hunting
next
this year.
Week.
Yeah.
Okay. There might be some venison on the table.
I'm done with my rant. I'm solid. I'm good now. Okay. And now we can move on. We are going to be back right after this.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Welcome back, everybody, and after our lively conversation,
you off your rant now?
I'm all good.
Okay.
I'm all good. Unfortunately, one of the sad stories I was going through before the show, talking about chronic wasting samples coming from deer, elk, both during the Wyoming hunting season. Hunters are helping to fight, obviously, the chronic wasting disease in the animals out there and everywhere by submitting the samples to state officials, and they're going to be used to study CWD, which has been found just about everywhere. So far, over 4,800 lymph nodes have been submitted to the Wyoming Game and Fish, according to the press release. 6,500 samples were submitted for the entire hunting season in 2020. So they're well ahead of the pace. One of the things I find is interesting, current estimates in this particular case really overshadow what it really comes down to is it's devastating herds, and it's really causing some major issues, and it's really unfortunate with what's gone on out there, and we're not hearing exact impact as of yet, but we'll soon see how that shakes out.
Yeah, so. Well, it's good they're doing the testing, you know. It's I know they're doing quite a bit of testing in Minnesota this year, too, so.
Yeah, it's
I think this, the area that we live in, this might be one of the first years that they've done it as a, I don't know if it was mandatory, but I think it was first weekend and second weekend or something of that nature. Or the first weekend of each
season.
Hunting season,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, the funny thing, too, is when you deal with that as a whole, they've been looking at it since 1997. And according to this particular season, you know, they're looking at what effect and how you can tell, obviously, if it has. And, of course, weight loss, stumbling, listlessness, and it can happen in the deer, elk, reindeer, and moose.
Does it
well.
Affect antelope?
No,
it doesn't.
Apparently not. Apparently not. And, of course, it is a fatal disease, so we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, entertainment, not so much. Story we talked about a little bit out of Idaho, Don, and it was surprising to me when I saw it popped up as a story. Hunters are now being offered $2,500 to cull Idaho wolf population. The wolves in Idaho are now being targeted by the Department of Fish and Game due to increasing attacks. There was a law that was passed loosening restrictions, and the population sits somewhere near 1,500 wolves. So they've allocated over $200,000 to hand out bounties for culling the wolves. And
I would have to believe that's for resident only.
Well, here's the thing. They can not only hunt, but they can also use other means normally not allowed, such as trapping, snaring, night hunting with night vision, bait, hunting with dogs, and even hunting from vehicles. The new law authorizes hunters to hunt and trap the wolves unrestricted on a single tag throughout the year on private property. And the bounty system is one of the things that would contribute to the relisting of wolves, somebody said, as far as one of the Idaho Conservation Leagues. But I think what they need to understand is that there's a certain point where there's too many, and they will devastate and impact significantly the interaction with the human.
I don't imagine there's any natural predator to keep that in balance in nature, is there?
No. In that area, there's
so nothing. I mean, at one point, didn't they have the they had a hunt here? Seems like we did a story on it in the last 6-8 months, where they were going from 4,000 wolves down to 1,500.
Well, and here they're looking at significant cull, significant, and I mean over 50%. Yeah. In fact, well over 50%. The $2,500 that would be awarded for killing a wolf in an area where the Fish and Game says that they are chronically preying on livestock, while wolves killed in the northern tip of the state will fetch roughly $1,000, and all other parts of the state, $500 per wolf. However, the Idaho Wolf Depredation Control Board said that the funds start to dry up before June, and in that particular case, they'll look at it, and they will cut the bounties significantly. So,
yeah, well, I'm sure they're keeping an eye on it.
I would suspect that's...
I wonder why we haven't had a similar explosion of the wolves. Maybe we have in Minnesota. I know they, you know, there's a lot of wolves in northern Wisconsin and northern Minnesota.
There's a lot of them.
Yep.
You know, and the significance is pretty crazy as far as what they're doing as far as predation.
Right.
It's crazy. It is truly crazy. But we'll stay on that story. Another story coming out of southern Minnesota, a bow hunter arrowed a 9-point buck as well as a whole section of fence.
How so?
As the sun came up on a calm, crisp October 23rd morning. Oh, sorry, that was Packers. Sorry. I had been watching two small bucks sparring this individual who shot this deer about 100 yards. And he'd been watching for about half an hour or so. He said one of the deer split off. He was feeding on turnips, watched out of the corner of an eye, and a buck stepped into the open, south end of a food plot, and he noticed something unusual in his rack. Put his binoculars on it and realized that he had a whole mess of fencing wrapped around his head, and he recognized the deer as a split G2 buck that his brother had trailed with trail camera for a number of years.
Wow.
So he happened to shoot it. It was about 25 yards out with a bow. And he evaluated it a little bit further and found out that it was roughly 20 yards probably between him, 38-yard shot. And he had a heck of a time trying to get everything untangled.
Undone.
Because once it ran, it tangled up in everything under the sun. So it was a difficult drag, he says. And while 12 days earlier by our trail cams, I knew that the entanglement had happened from that period of time when there was nothing, he knew that it was kind of a difficult thing. But important is, if you're going to leave something like that out, you should not leave it out so it can be pulled away. You should throw it away because that could be devastating. Same thing like with a spare tire, that elk that had the spare tire around its neck. Was it a moose? I think it was a moose. And it was like a year and a half that it had a tire around its neck, and the DNR finally got it, and then they could pull it off of its neck. But sad.
Yep.
I mean, really, not a good thing. But nonetheless, he could have signed up for an Olympic event. Fencing.
Yes. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. Wow.
Hey, going downhill, Ava.
What can I say?
Good thing it's almost the end of the show, yeah, my friends. Yeez.
Well, you know, I never said I was going to have good jokes.
Yeah.
So, on a not so fun note, the angling community in the bass world lost a an amazing, probably one of the top anglers in the country, and that's been out for I don't even know how long. Aaron Martins, incredible individual. He's MLF Tour champion, Bass Pro Tour champion, elite champion. I won't go through his everything he's done, but he died after a 19-month battle with brain cancer. And it was a glioblastoma, very similar, in fact, to what Tommy Scarless on the walleye side had succumbed to. And we certainly wish the best for his family. And he fought right to the end. In fact, he was fishing tournaments where they would drive the boat for him. He said, one of the interviews, he said, I can't see very well, but I got somebody driving me. He knows where I need to go. And all I got to do is get my bait out there. And if there's anything that's dedication and really something to aspire to as far as that drive and not quit attitude, that was Aaron Martins. So again, our best wishes to his family and that. So let's end on a positive note. We're looking at some numbers I got from the DNR.
Yes.
As of so far within the state of Minnesota, we're looking at harvest totals, 154,798. I don't have a relative comparison because the season's not over, but looks like about 57% were male adults. Juveniles were about 7.5%. Female adult, about 30%, and female juveniles were about 5.5%. So very similar to past years. We'll keep that kind of figured out. We'll get to that totals as we come to a close for that basic part of the season. And we come to a close. Thanks for joining us for Don, Ava, myself, Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors, and we are out of here.